Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Well, you know, I was thinking about technology this morning. You know, it's just so much technology. It's so frustrated with it, and everybody's just connected to their computers and to their mobile devices and their mobile phones, you know. And I thought, oh my goodness, it's just the little dots are following us around everywhere. And it's just amazing. So when I got up this morning at the sound of my iPhone saying, wake up, wake up, birds tweeting and waterfalls going, I thought, this stuff ain't bad. It says, wake up. Wake up, it's time to wake up, and little birds tweet. Oh, same wow. way every morning. It's like a perfect tweet, the digital tweet.
Right.
And waterfalls going. And
I got to get that alarm. Mine doesn't sound as nice.
Well, yeah. Well, it 99 cents. Everything's 99 cents. Talking about the 99 cents store, today's technology. And you invent it once and sell it over and over again for 99 cents.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Yeah, and it wakes up, and I thought, well, you know, it couldn't be that bad. And of course, then I realized I move to the sound of tones. Like I'm in this one appointment, and then you hear a tone, and then I just move. And technology says, okay, it's time for the next appointment. Doom. It's time for this. It's time for that. I was like, oh my goodness. I wonder how people remembered in the past.
Yeah.
But then I realized as I look back and studied, allegedly, John, that the information that crosses our lives in one day, all the data and information in one day, that our great grandfathers, that much didn't cross them in their entire lifetime.
That's amazing.
They kept books on pieces of paper, their ledgers, the bank ledgers. You would go and they would write down, okay, Bobby Joe, he took $5 out of the bank and Suzanne deposited 26, and they would write it down. The guy with bifocals, you know, the little focal glasses, and he'd write it down. He'd close the thing up, and he'd lock it in some big safe somewhere. And bank robbers, you know, sometimes would come in, and they would steal the book, and they'd steal the cash. We can't think about it. There's no more grid for that. And I tell you, man, I say, you know, if we could just go back there and live in that arena. But we just happen to be living in this generation. But there is a time when you could just enjoy the sunrise. You go back and, you know, plow your fields, slop your hogs, milk your cows, go down and have some biscuits and some freshly cut bacon, and we have to pull the hair out of the milk because it's real fresh.
There's a lot of work behind all that bacon and the milk.
But it's good work. You know, there's nothing like, I'm telling you, there's nothing like, you know, normal work where you're laboring and stuff today. But it seems all that kind of labor is going east. Going to India, it's going to China, and to survive in this economy where we're going, you're not going to be able to be a laborer in that context of that. I mean, you could say, I'm going to be a laborer. It's like, dude, if you're not going to do it in Mandarin, if you're not going to do it, you know, in India, it's just not going to work. You're going to have to move because the labor's cheaper. And you can have all the union protests you want to, but it's going to be like, it's all going to move towards the lowest common pay for the particular product. And so then you have to actually get more knowledge and more skill and how to do things and manage multiple things. And it looks like the virtual market's here to stay. I mean, and it makes sense. I mean, it's the fulfillment of prophecy. I mean, it's the fulfillment of prophecy. Yeah. That's what, you know, we thought at one time there's no way that how can everybody see the Lord return? How could everybody see two prophets fall dad and prophesy in Jerusalem? Was like, I was just looking at Benjamin Netanyahu this morning. You know, talking about an earthquake, by the way. Supposedly, they're preparing for a possible earthquake coming to Israel.
Wow.
Sounds like another God momentous occasion about to happen with all this, to show himself mighty to the world and to Israel. And it's very possible. I mean, you can watch an intersection in Beijing, China, as traffic goes through the intersection.
Right.
And somebody pushes a button and they crosswalk and they go across. I guess it said walk. I don't know. It just said, I don't know what it said. Konnichiwa. That's Japan. Anyway, so You could just, you could see so much stuff. And it's just like, I'm tired of information. I don't want to know, how do we cut this down? How do we, and we've got to find the place to what matters most. And I want to encourage you this morning, as we're in this conversation that we've been in, to don't be overwhelmed by all the data, all the information, you know, speak to it, force it to be in compliance to how you want to receive it. And if more comes your way than you can take in, you know, trust God with all of it, including what you're taking in, but just let it go like water's off a duck's back. One of the ways that you can take over a people is to inundate them with information and just pound them so much. And in there somewhere in the midst of an entire 2-hour speech, you go, and I'm going to kill you. I mean, you can put that in there and the people don't even hear it because they're like, yada, yada, like Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 wah. And you got to pay attention. It's like the terms of agreement we talked about with the beast economy. Click through, you know, accept.
What did I just accept?
Yeah, well, I don't think the people's even asking that. But if you, if you are abiding with God, if you're hanging out with the Lord, He'll hang out with you, and you listen to Him and hide His word in your heart, then you don't have to worry about all this information. Don't take too much of it in. Take in what God is telling you and what is digestible for you. And that's why we have VFN Radio, to be able to give you more of a balanced. Somebody says, well, why would you talk about disaster? And the next thing you do, you're talking about something funny. Because the Lord says, I'll laugh at your destruction. It's not, we win. We're not trying to, we already are coming from a place of success. We're not working for a place of success. I mean, if someone takes my life, I win.
That's right.
Right.
And that's just it. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so what we feel is that, hey, as long as I'm here, I'm going to be here for God.
That's right.
That's right.
And so in this conversation that we're having is to encourage you to realize, you know, I need to find out what matters most. And I want to begin to bring on VFN Radio for you what we call value-based vision management, vision moments, to begin to just to force the events of your life. Because time management is not about time, but people focus on time. It's 8 o'clock, I got to do this. It's 10 o'clock, I got to do this. It's 12 o'clock, I got to do this. And they go, there's just not enough hours in the day. And that's so ridiculous because nothing's based off hours. Truly, time management is not about managing time. It's about managing the events in your life. It's event management.
Right.
So then you have to determine, but when you go back and you remember, well, these sane ones are this way. When you go back and look in history, you go, wow, that was a wonderful gathering that we had. Wasn't that a wonderful conference? And do you remember, oh, do you remember what so-and-so said? Now, maybe a melancholy person always go, do you remember 805? When so-and-so got up to speak, you know, but we can't, we know we're not, that's not how,
no, we're not.
It's okay. It's okay. It didn't bother us either way.
Not at all.
So do you have any context, like an event that happened, you know, this time business is not getting it. And so, but we remember things by events. You remember first grade, you remember second, well, some of us remember first grade. As one kid says, you know, I thought I was the smartest kid in my second grade class. I was the only one with my driver's license. But thank God for the new system. They pass you whether you know anything or not.
Right.
In some schools. But it's about event management. And this is such a, I'm telling you, if you understand this, your life is going to be so much more peaceful because you can only do one event at a time. You may think you can do more than one event at a time, but you can only do one event at a time. Well, now you can do a whole things halfway, but but to think about it though, if you do this event well and you finish it up, then you can do the next event well. But if you're trying to do everything at the same time, not only are you not doing them well, but people around you feel like they are in well. You know what I mean? Not with a W, that it's really stressful to them. It's chaotic and chaos and frustration, and they're sensing your frustration because you're always living in dread and regret. You're regretting what you didn't do or did do yesterday, and you're dreading what happens tomorrow, and never living in the now. And God is our ever-present help in time of trouble. Now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. Go tell them that I am. So we got to learn how to live in the now.
Right.
And one way God does that, He does it through wisdom, telling us how to take what the knowledge and everything that's happening in life and does it through wisdom. And wisdom is the proper application of what we know. It's mm-hmm. not enough to know the news, but you need to know what to do with the news you know. Mm-hmm. God's news behind the news and the events of your life. And so now, so you have, okay, well, I'll just take an event. I'll just take this event, and then I'll take that event. But the mm-hmm. problem is, most low-priority, non-important events, such as checking your email,
right,
or reading something that's insignificant, mm-hmm. they end up taking up that entire, your entire day. And you say, well, I've done a lot. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like somebody says, you know, I spent my whole paycheck and I don't know where it went.
Right.
And you say, how could you not know where your whole paycheck went? Well, it's because right. I didn't pay attention.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Whatever showed up, I bought it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so a lot of people live their lives that way.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't say, I need to budget my finances and I need to budget my time.
Mm-hmm.
And as life goes on, listen, you may know this if time's already gone on for you, that you determine things, what you do based on your energy. Mm-hmm. You know, just because you got a lot of mm-hmm. energy right now don't mean I have a lot of energy. Our energy is going to have to meet somewhere.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, we have to determine then if all these events are taking place, I need to find out what matters most in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And if a man jumps out of bed or a woman jumps out of bed in the morning at the sound of their new little iPhone alarm, and they look at the clock time and they go, oh my goodness, I don't have time. Well, you never had time. Time was something you observed. You actually never had it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then you jump up and say, I don't have time. Two, and you fill in the blank.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Quite often, based on statistics and what George Barna is saying, well, people are saying, I don't have time to read the Word of God. I don't have time to abide with God. Mm-hmm. I don't have time to pray.
Right.
I pray in the shower, right?
Mm.
I pray in the shower. I pray in the car on the way to work, which is good to pray all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But if you decided to watch, you know, Captain Kangaroo in the morning or, you know, Today Show, et cetera, same thing.
Right.
That instead of
Sesame Street.
It's Sesame Street.
Not an official plug, right?
Not an official plug, allegedly. The did I say allegedly? Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly.
Allegedly. And so that you gotta find out what matters most. And so if you didn't know that, you would actually leave your day, and this is what a lot of the church is doing. They're leaving their homes that God gave them.
Mm-hmm.
Driving in cars God gave them, mm-hmm. with tanks filled with gas that God gave them the money to get, not naked because God gave them the clothes they're wearing on the back, to go to a job that God gave them,
mm-hmm.
only to begin their entire event called that day ignoring mm-hmm. him and not acknowledging him, because they didn't understand that he's the one that gives increase. He's the one that kept you.
Wow.
He's the mm-hmm. one that keeps us. And so what matters most is spend some time with the one who gave you the stuff, honey.
Mm.
Spend some time, sir, with, if, you know, you're trying to put everything together and you're trying to make things happen and you're so stressed out. Listen, let God, credit God for what he's doing in your life.
That's right.
And one way you do that, we talk about that quite often, is honor God. Honor God with your first fruits, but first fruits of your day as well. You know, spend mm-hmm. some time. Jesus met with the Father first thing and alone with God.
Right.
Yeah, if it would have brought Peter, Peter wouldn't stop talking. So I'm sure he's like, y'all stay here.
Peter
like, I got another idea. It's like, Peter, pumpkin eater, right?
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Can a company mandate a program that goes against one's faith? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My husband has told me that he has to go to mandatory diversity training. And I wondered, in this type of training, what theological beliefs do they try to usually impress?
It depends on the program. Some diversity training programs are fine, and others are very agenda-driven. What we need to do, and this is what he needs to do, is find the information about what's going to be contained in the diversity training program. Then if you go to ACLJ.org, look under the issues section, it'll say work-related matters, and there's all kinds of information about how you can opt out of a diversity training program if a particular aspect of that program violates your sincerely held religious beliefs. That's the standard there. So, Vanessa, the thing to do is get the actual what's going to be in the diversity training program. Take a look at our website at ACLJ.org. You should be in great shape from there. If you got any additional problem, you call us back and we'll get you some help, okay?
Find out more at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Have you ever been listening or reading the Word of God, and it just seems like you were just reading a math book? You know, there's a lot of books that I've read in my life, and I've learned that there's a big difference between a textbook, a book, and the Word of God. There's a big difference between the Word of God and the God of the Word. And I want to encourage him that if you want to encounter the God of the Word, Jesus Christ, you can. He's not just a few letters in a pages that you don't understand. He's alive. And he's got a plan for you, and he wants nothing more than to spend time with you on a daily basis. He wants to speak to you, he wants to hear your voice, and he wants you to know his voice. Find out more at iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off.
So anyway, so here we are. How many people are starting their days that God gave them? The day he gave us the day and God didn't even cross their mind. Didn't even cross their mind. Isn't that wild?
Wow. That is very just, wild.
But it's a real thing.
You know, you were talking about vision earlier, and I had a chance. I was in Brooklyn over the weekend and walked a little bit on the Brooklyn Bridge. I didn't realize this, but the guy who actually put together the Brooklyn Bridge is very interesting. He actually suffered and got his leg amputated, got crushed by a boat. Well, would you believe that this whole construction of this bridge over many, many years, a lot of people died, a lot of people risked their lives just to get this bridge across that connects Manhattan to Brooklyn. His wife was so in tune with his vision, and his vision was so clear that he was able to communicate the vision of how he wanted this bridge built, and she would communicate it to the engineers. He never left his bed, Pat.
Wow.
And he was able to communicate with her. She was able to study the vision. She was able to learn some things about mathematics, and she was able to communicate with the engineers. And he never crossed the bridge. In fact, she was the first person to cross the bridge, but he wanted to make sure that he was able to complete what he started. Mm-hmm. But it all started with a vision. At that time, I think it was the largest bridge, freestanding bridge ever made. I know with cables and stuff like that, right. But it was pretty amazing. And that's the power of vision. That's the power of knowing what it is that you're going to accomplish and be able to manage that vision. It was so powerful that he was able to not even be on site. Can you imagine someone today trying to build anything and not being on site?
No, I couldn't.
And this is the engineer, and he's able to communicate with his wife, and she's able to communicate with others. It's really amazing. And wow. So It's interesting we're talking about all of this, because it just takes that. It takes you to be able to have a vision, and you can only manage a vision. You can't manage time.
That's so true. That's so true. You know, what matters most in your time management, you have to find out, you know, what matters most. As a believer, as the one who says that I'm without you, God, it's not going to be good. I need forgiveness of my sins, and I need a Savior. I need a Lord. And you're the Lord of my life, then my number one priority, then my number one event in my life is going to be to acknowledge God,
right?
To relate to him. We call that abiding. If you don't abide and you need a plan, we have one at iabide.org. Request it free today. But I'm reading George Barna, and we're going to read more of this a little bit later on, but George Barna's book called Worn Out on Church Revolution, Finding Vibrant Faith Beyond the Walls of the Sanctuary. And he writes about the condition of the church, which we'll talk more about rethinking church in a little bit. But he says in regard to worship, he says the biweekly attendance at worship service is by believers on admission generally the only time they worship God.
Mm.
The bi-weekly, which is twice a month, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is 26 times a month, John Paul.
Wow. A year.
Yeah. 26 times. Yeah, right.
Thank that you. Would be great, 26 times a month. Yeah,
wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So 26 times a year, by golly, mm-hmm. I worship God.
Wow.
But wait a minute. And then he says, you know, 8 out of every 10, which is 80%, 8 out of mm-hmm. every 10 believers do not feel they have entered into the presence of God or experienced a connection with him during that time of worship. So now 26 times they did worship, 80% did not even experience him.
Mm.
And it's like, what are we doing in regards to our priorities? We're running our life. We're being so busy. And we're like the person who didn't set a budget for their finances. And at the end of our life, somebody's going to ask you the question, where did it all go? Where did you spend it? And the thing about it is you did this gift that God's given us, you have to manage it.
That's right.
You have to be a good steward of it. Not just money, the time that you have. And mm-hmm. what you do with it, because we're going to have to give an account. Listen, not only are we going to have to give account for the time that he gave us, we're going to have to give an account for everything we did, every deed that we did.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people tell you there's a gospel being preached that, you know, that you're not going to have to account for that. But the problem that negates that is the words of Christ.
One small problem, itty bitty thing here.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I'm with you in that. The fact that I abide and read the word, mm-hmm. it contradicts what you're saying, and you need to quit saying that and lead people to the word at least. And then not only do you have to account for your time, but you have to account for every word that you've ever spoken.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, have you ever said some things that you regret?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we'll just pass it to you, Pat. What were those things?
We're all listening.
Anyway, so they it's like, oh my goodness. So if I said those things that I regret, mm-hmm. I'm going to take it to the cross and say, Lord, forgive me for that. Mm-hmm. And that's where I'm going to give account for it. I acknowledge it was wrong, mm-hmm. and I'm going to make it right at the cross. But then right. truly making it right is begin to say words that are right.
Correct.
Not right. just going every day and going, oh, forgive me for, you know, chewing my boss out in my heart or head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, forgive me for having these thoughts against my spouse or my parent or my...
Or forgive me if. I like those repents. Forgive me if I did not.
Yeah.
Like, could you just back out of that repentance?
The if prayers.
Okay. Okay. I'll give you if forgiveness, right?
Yeah, God's going like, if you'll actually acknowledge it, I will. And yeah, it's like, people's like, you think about it. God already knows already. Mm. Just spell it out.
Exactly.
But true repentance then is that the words that we're using that we're going to have to, we say, you know, and I've had to go quite often, you know, Lord, please forgive Pat for those words. Lord, please forgive me for those words. I've done that. Mm-hmm. I had to do that. I mean, anyway, we won't get on that. We won't talk about that. But don't waste your time trying to collect words you spoke. Just regret them, repent for them, and move on. You can't take them back.
That would be nice. That's right. It didn't work.
Did I tell y'all? Never mind. And so, but if we have to give account for our deeds, so we have to give an account for our words, don't you understand? We're going to have to give account for our life. What do we do with this life that he's given us?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you flatter me with your lips, but you deny me with your hearts, with your actions, with your deeds. And we're known by our fruit, what we do, not what we say. We're not known by our gifts. And so, I want to encourage you to begin to think about, you know, what's valuable to you. Things are going to pick up. I really believe they're going to double, they're going to triple, and they're going to quadruple. And you're going to have this massive treadmill of events and data. And it's just going to come in. You're going to look like O's and ones are just going through, like the national debt's clicking off in your experience. But you can find peace in the midst of that if you took this thing called a gift that God's given you and us, time, and force it to be in compliance by God's wisdom and begin to manage this thing so you can force it to be in compliance with the destiny God has given you. That's He's right. given you a destiny, but your destiny does not slap you upside the face. You have to grab it and force it to be in compliance with your vapor, your time that you have. And so many people are waiting for something to happen, and God says, no, I'll bless the work of your hands. I'll bless you when you move in my wisdom. I'll bless you when you believe me and trust me with all this information that you think you got to have. You don't have to. You can let all that go and focus on what matters most, and I will take even the birds of the air. They don't worry about that.
Right. And you think about it, you have one life to live, just one, just one. And if you don't seize the moment, you know, there's a quote that says, you have to, the opportunity of a lifetime must be seized during the lifetime of that opportunity. Well, life is that opportunity. You know, some wisdom, I had a chance to speak with some folks throughout the years that have lived a whole lot longer. And just to hear some of the things that they have had to say about the things they've regretted doing and not doing because they squandered their time. You can learn a lot of wisdom from a lot of people out there.
Well, you had to go talk to somebody? You didn't have your own? I have my own.
I have my own too. But it's interesting. You know, you look at that and you say, wow, you know, I want to seize the moment. I want to make sure that I do all that I can do for God, for what He's called me to do in the time that I have to do it. And that's what we're talking about here today. I mean, it's very, very encouraging because at the end, there's going to be a time where you're not going to have the energy or you may not even have the help.
Right. And Jesus told Peter plain as day, He says, listen, Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, feed my sheep. And so Peter goes, well, what about him? What's he going to do? And yeah, I'm sure he's pointing at John.
Yeah.
And John's going, I'm the one he loves.
The most.
The most. Right. I used to think, that's so touching. That is so touching. Then I realized, well, John, you wrote this.
Yeah,
you wrote this, John. And I'm not talking about John Paul. I'm talking about the gospel, the disciple John. And so Jesus looks at Peter and he says, there's going to come a day. There's going to come a day when someone's going to lead you around by your hand. It doesn't always, you don't always have all this energy and all this time. And I know it's hard to comprehend. I mean, if you're young, you're probably thinking, well, if the Lord comes back today, I have all this life to live and this type of stuff. It says, hold on, honey. It'll change.
That's right.
It'll change. And so there comes a time when it's just, you can't, it's, you're, you know, you basically have been poured out like a drink offering and you can share the wisdom of your life. You can pour into other people's life like Elijah did, but you're not, you know, you can't make it to the top of Mount Carmel to call the fire down. Can somebody right. wheel me up to the top of Mount Carmel? You know, put your teeth in like, we're going to go on for another day. I mean, it comes a time you just can't do that. So you only have a limited amount of time to respond. And then we'll spend eternity talking about what we did. And if we spend our life, our time, this thing that God's given us outside of our value system, and we'll be talking about that by God's grace at least once a week to encourage you in your life and your family and your business to understand that you can manage this thing called life and you have to do it based on your core values. You're going to have to find out and tap into what is your core values. We've had people that we've worked with over the years that, you know, their core value, one of their core values was food. That was their food. That was food. It's like,
yeah.
Well, you understand this is not going to end well for you if food is your core value. I mean, you know, she was probably being very honest, or he, whoever it was, being very honest. And that's good. We don't want to be politically correct in regards to this is what our core values are supposed to be. I mean, if your core value is food, and it could be money, you know.
Yeah.
And so, but you need to really discover what your core values are.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. In New Jersey, Yolanda's Cocina Cubana. Excellent Cuban food. Delicioso. Go in and get some for you and for me today. The Coffee House. If you're looking for a great cup of coffee in a warm setting and nice leather chairs, they even have a fireplace. Freshly made sandwiches. Also, if you're looking for a place to meet or business meetings, they have a great place for you. Go visit them today. Taqueria Ogies, authentic Mexican food. They're coming all over the Gulf Coast for some. Come get some today. Spicy, hot, and delicious. Your plate is next.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
And as a believer, our number one value has to be, by the way, God. God can't be your number two value.
Imagine that.
If he's your number two value, then whatever is your number one value is your God.
That's right.
He says, make for yourself no graven images, no other gods, right, mm-hmm. before him. Mm-hmm. And if you have him at number two, then whatever you put at number one is your God.
That's mm-hmm. right.
So a lot of times people are putting God at three or four, and they're saying, he's in there somewhere. He's in there twice a month where I don't get in his presence, but I do sing a song that I really enjoy and tap my feet to. And but you know, 80% of us don't even know that we don't even counter him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's like, I'm not showing up. I'm number three on your list, bro. You got two other gods, but when you get rid of those two other gods, money, position, spouse, family, house, things, stuff, nation, then if you'll do that, and then I'm going to show up. So I encourage you. We're going to be talking about that. Value-based vision management. So important to think about. I got to force this thing. Life is not about time. Life is about events. And managing time management is about managing the events in your life. We're going to have to grab this because it's just coming at us like a whirlwind. Events are just hitting us left and right. And that's the way to confuse us and cause us to get real busy with something that's insignificant, to move God from a first priority to a fifth priority and not even know it. And to end up, our entire nation falls because all of a sudden we said that it's more important to have America than to have God.
Mm-hmm.
It's more important to have a dollar that's valuable than to have God. It's more important to be able to have a nation than to say that Jesus Christ is the Lord over this nation, that God is the God of our nation. We're moving him down. We got to begin to say, whoa, what matters most? God has given you wisdom so you don't have to live your life on a busy body type treadmill. That you can take this thing God's given you, the gift of life and time and events, and manage them and force them to be in compliance to produce for you. I mean, you take soil, you think about it, you take dirt, and a man looks at this wooded area and he goes, you know, I'm gonna take that land and I'm gonna make a garden with it and I'm gonna eat from it. And somebody goes, it's a forest. It's got trees in it. No, I'm going to take that land. I'm going to force it to be in compliance with the will that I have for it. I'm going to take dominion over it, right? Isn't that what God told us? He says, I want you to go take dominion over the earth. And I'm going to force that piece of land to produce corn.
Right.
And he has a vision. He can see the stalks. He can see the kernels. He can see him sitting down with his table with his family having a nice meal for corn, and somebody else is just seeing trees and weeds and everything else. But he takes that land and he forces it to be in compliance with his will that he feels he's supposed to be doing for that piece of land. That's how time is. It does stuff. If you've noticed yet, the people that are being successful in life, people that are making things happen, are the ones that understand this. That you just can't stare and wish that piece of woods will turn into a garden. You're going to have to take a hold of it and get a backhoe. You're going to have to clear all those trees out. You're going to have to take all those stumps up. You're going to have to take all those weeds out. You're going to have to till the soil down. You're going to have to go through all these processes. You're going to have to go acquire seed. And you got to have faith to believe that the seed that you're getting, that you put in the ground, is going to produce more than the money you just spent on the seed to be able to put in the ground. I mean, this whole thing works together. Or you can sit and eat corn from another man's field. And that's what so many have been doing. You're not doing what God has called you to do, to be able to produce in your life. He said some seed fell upon the path and the birds came and took it away. Some fell upon the rocks and it didn't have any kind of roots because it was on rock instead of good soil. And when the heat came, when hard times came, it just burned away. And some seed fell among thorns, which is a field that was not taken and forced to be in compliance with the will of that seed. They didn't deal with the thorns, which are the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches and money in view. But some seed fell upon the good soil that was plowed and it produced and was forced to be in compliance. And he says they produced 30, 60, and 90 times what was sown. This is what we're called to do. We're called to be more when we leave this earth than we were when we came to this earth. You know, he tells us you have to be one that invests what God gives you. And the one thing that he gives us is time.
That's right.
And then he gives us this earth. And then he gives us talents, a talent or talents. And he says, don't bury it. Use it. Do something with it. You will answer and we will answer and I will answer alone before God. What did we do with what he entrusted to us?
That's right.
That's right.
To quit looking at everybody else and kind of, you know, averaging where you are. Listen, there is no curve at the throne of God. You're going to have to answer for what you did or didn't do it. And you can, and it's what you're designed to do, by the way. You're designed to believe God for something that is not and watch it manifest. You're designed to have vision and, you know, you're creating the image and the likeness of the creator. What does that mean? You're a creator. You can speak things into existence. I was talking to the doctor the other day and the doctor was telling me, he says, listen, you know, if you do this, in regards to like placing a bone or something like that, he says, you remove the bone, the bones heal. Bones have the ability to heal. But if you put something in your body that's not bone, you lose the ability to heal. You think about that. And when we are understand that God's given us this great ability to create and to heal and to move and to and we're supposed to be involved in this thing, involved in this thing called life, and we're not supposed to sit back and let somebody else do it all.
Right.
There's something we should be doing. We're supposed to produce, and that's what he called us. He says, you know, the parable of the sower that Jesus tells us, which is Jesus telling us. And he says that the ones that bury their talents, the one that was fearful, you know, the one that was scared, the one that was thinking too much, he said, you know, I was too scared. I knew that you worked hard for this talent that you gave me, and you died for it, Jesus, so I buried the talent so that I wouldn't lose it. And he says what? You wicked and lazy servant.
Servant, right.
Isn't that crazy?
Mm.
Not crazy, but it's in regards to contrast to what's being said today. It's like, nobody can invest that for you, bro.
That's right.
Nobody, you can't say, well, I'm living vicariously through somebody else's investment. Well, you might be eating their corn from their field, but you're going to be required by God to answer for what you did or didn't do, what God entrusted to you. And as an American, if you're listening to us in America, I know we have listeners from all around the world, but let me tell you that we've been given a lot. A lot. And the largest thing the church has been given is the First Amendment, which means no limitations to what you can do in God.
That's right. That's
which means no excuses, right?
Nope.
And think about it. The regrets of living life safe. And that's where America's been. America's been living life safe in the last 60 years probably. In the 50s is when everybody really started focusing on, you know, just getting your house and your
white picket fence,
your wife and your three or four kids. And you go to your job, you come home, you go to your job and you come home. But it's gotten, and the thing about the 50s and the 60s, or pretty much the 50s, is people who didn't know God then feared God.
Right.
Today, people who say they know him don't fear him. And, you know, it's just amazing that the times and the seasons that have changed. And it's become about, you know, the job and the career and the property. And they have, you know, the programs. And I see these programs on television where they show next house after the next house after the next house, the next house, the next house. And it's like, what does the world really think of Americans?
Yeah.
You know, the ones that are, and obviously they're probably not getting that channel, but you're just thinking, my goodness, how embarrassing we're paying. You know, $4 million for the next one because this one didn't have the right color for us or something. And this is amazing. But think about it. You know, the regret of living life safe. As believers, we're called to live by faith. Faith is what you're, it's being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. And it's about living in the now. Now faith is. That's what we're called to do. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know, we're called to take risks in the cultures that we live in, to speak in a way in the culture that we live in that's very risky because it's against the culture normally of what's going on as we begin to share the things of God. We're called to give so that we have. You know, we're called to make God known in all the earth through his son, Jesus Christ. We're risking persecution, pain, loss of things and stuff and freedom. But listen, there's no, who's risking that? Who's stepping out? Who's stepping out in the church? Christians. I'm talking about Christians here. We know some ones that are stepping out that aren't Christians. Like, my goodness, if the Christians could step out like that.
That's right.
You know, are we willing? And that's what we're called to do. It's not like some optional thing. And you're living your life for regret if you're not. Because you're going to stand alone before God and the throne of God, the judgment seat of Christ. And you're going to say, what did you do with your life? Well, I've gathered things and stuff. And I didn't respond to the orphan. I didn't respond to the homeless. I didn't respond to the lost people that I could have told them about you. And we're going to be held accountable for that. Think about it. 97, the Christians in America, for example, according to George Barna, you know, we're not willing to be inconvenienced even with our own children because statistically that the reason why abortions happen is because that child's going to cost me to work harder. It's going to, you know, we already have enough kids and the inconvenience of self or what people will think of me or all those different things that happen. Statistically, it's not just the world getting abortions. And now you're seeing the numbers come down for the actual doctor abortion. But if you back up a little bit and look at the day after pill or Plan B pill, the numbers are skyrocketed.
Yeah.
The numbers are skyrocketed. And the selfish aspect of it is, and then 97% of the regular church attenders, according to George Bonner, are robbing from God. Because not willing to take a risk to trust God to give him, he gives us everything, and you can't honor him with his tithes and offerings out of that. It's like, we're not in the, you know, we're called, living life safe will not end well at the throne of God. Because we're called to trust God, not trust ourselves and trust what we do. Even though God blesses the work of our hands and he doesn't mind us having things as long as things don't have us. But listen, if those things have us and God doesn't have us, it's not going to be well.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
That's right. We have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called the Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch Newsletter goes out. And in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone, whether you get your emails on your tablet, or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN Radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com and select newsletter sign up, or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch Newsletter now.
If you have not yet began to fellowship with believers who believe the Word of God, who have a deep passion to hear the voice of God and obey the Lord, who want to see the Great Commission not be the Great Suggestion, who want to be able to see the kingdom of our Lord come on earth as it is in heaven, who sees the church as the family of God that we are, and the expectation of God that he has of us to increase the size of his family, his kingdom. If you want to be a part of the dream, if you want to be a part of reading a Bible and seeing and walking out what you read, if you want to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer and merely deceived, I encourage you, if you're in the Gulf Coast region, join us at the VFN Dream Center. You can find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org, or join us as one of our e-members, our virtual members online. Go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Listen, it is time to be connected to a Rhema word. It is time. We need a now word to be able to step out in faith and see the glory of God. Listen, there's a lot of glory to share, and God wants to manifest his glory in your life. That's vinefellowshipnetwork.org. vinefellowshipnetwork.org.
I've heard this once, I've heard it too many times. When I run into someone and they tell me, I just don't want to be part of a crowd. I just don't want to be part of another group. I don't want to be another number.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to go to an event. Mm. I want to experience God.
Yeah.
I want to enjoy fellowship with God's people. And I want to grow. I want to be a true disciple. Mm-hmm. I want to learn of his ways. I want to abide with him and spend time with him. And I want to hear God for myself. I'm no longer interested in being a spectator, but I want to get in the game.
Yeah.
I want to fulfill the great commitment. I want to fulfill the great commission, but I just don't see where I fit in the crowd. If that's you and you have a longing to fulfill the call of God in your life, if you have a longing just to truly be what God's called you to be, a son and daughter of God, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you want to be a part of a family that's not just spectating and watching others do it, but are actually doing it together, I want to encourage you, find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off.
Mm-hmm. He's concerned about the orphan. He's concerned about the child in sex trade. He's concerned about the poor and the hungry and the homeless. He's concerned about that person that you have not even yet witnessed to and told them about this God that you profess to know. He wants them to know. He loves them. He loves mankind. He died for all mankind. And we're going to have to answer for that. You know, versus, you know, we're called to live by faith, not by sight. Jesus said, they'll hate you. They hated me. They'll hate you. And that's a risk. A lot of people aren't willing to take that risk to not be liked by people as they stand up for God. Or being made to look foolish, you know. And think about it. Paul talked about, of I'm always last of the procession of faith, basically where the dung of the animals that are in the parade are left behind. I'm locked up in prison, falsely accused. Everybody, including Jesus, who stood up for God, were treated poorly in this world and lost things and lost reputation and all these different things. And so we're called to be risk takers. The day that we're in right now, and the thing about it is we're in a culture that says that's okay. But God says, no, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to step out. It's more than believing God for a better car. Right. It's more than, you know, believing God for your next house payment. It's about believing God for human beings, people that are lost, that don't know him, and you telling them about him. It's about you loving people and stepping out at your workplace and everywhere you are in your life for God, not being ashamed of him before men so he won't be ashamed of you before the Father. Listen, it's time to be a risk taker. It is this thing about living a safe life, and what you're seeing is 401ks crashed, and they're about to crash again because all these people who live their life and didn't say, yeah, I got it all figured out, I'm going to work my days, and I'm going to retire, and I got my pension. You know, I think it's like 47 states, according to Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries, has pensions due now that they don't have any money to pay them. Mm. And it's all coming to a head. It's all coming to a head. And the only thing that's coming to a head is the decision that you failed to make early on in your life. You need to make it now, which is making Jesus the Lord of your life.
Right.
Not your pension, not your retirement. Understand that, just like, you know, the Lord told you, Pat, that enjoy it for a season because nothing's secure.
Right.
You know, it comes and it goes. And we're called to be risk takers. You're called to say, God may speak to you and say, listen, go to China. He may tell you, you know, go to another city and begin to plan a church. He may call you to begin to just shake your own city that you're at. But quite often, he's calling you to a different city because even Jesus in his home city, it was real difficult for him to minister in his home city in Nazareth. And he's Jesus.
Right.
The best thing to do is just to ignore Nazareth and keep on ministering.
And move on.
And move on. Yeah. But understanding that, that's who we're called to be. We're called to be risk takers. And the regret of living a safe life is dread at the throne room of God.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you have to seize, you know, as Steve Hill said, the opportunity of a lifetime must be seized during the lifetime of the opportunity. And this is the opportunity that we have while we're still alive, while we still have a chance to. We need to not live a safe life, but be willing to do everything that we can do. You know, regret is a horrible thing because when it's all said and done, you don't want to live like, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda. It's over. It's done with. And we can learn from that. We can say, listen, you know what? I don't want to have those regrets on the back end. I want to do all that I can in the strength that I have for God, because I'm going to see him one day, and I want to have something to offer him. I want my life to count. I want my life to make a difference. You only have one. You only have one life.
Is what you're living for worth Christ dying for?
That's right.
That's what it's going to boil down to. Yeah, did my son die for that?
Yeah.
For a pension plan? For a larger house?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what was it? What was the thing that he died for? And that's where we are right now. It's going to require men and women to rise up. You think about this pastor right now that's in jail for planting churches in Iran, who are meeting in houses, like a network there, that he's in jail facing a life sentence. I mean, how beautiful is his reward for being willing to go into Iran
Right.
That they consider you get a death penalty for preaching Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And but the thing is, what are we doing? Mm-hmm. What are we doing for God?
Right.
How is our life a sweet fragrance to God?
Right.
And fragrance has come by denying ourselves, picking up our cross and following the Lord. He says, you know, in view of God's mercy, offer your body, your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Think about that. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to say, here's my body, Lord. Use me as you will. You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me. I mean, that's what we're supposed to do. Here we are.
Right.
But that's not that way. I mean, right now, it's not that way. So many other things are being taught right now. And they're false teachings. If it doesn't line up with, this is what a false teaching is. It might not make sense to you when you hear that. If Jesus says left in his word and somebody's preaching right,
mm-hmm.
or if Jesus says yes in his word and somebody else is saying, well, it used to be yes, but now it's no.
Yeah.
Because things are changing. That's a false teaching. It's just the word of God is in its original form is without error.
Yeah.
Without error. And it's powerful, it's living, it's active than a sharper than a double-edged sword. And the world cannot shake it because it's that's so powerful because God is with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we're talking about when we talk about that. So this is the day to really just shake ourselves because deception, the word deceived means what we think we're doing is right when we're wrong. Uh-huh. And so deception is just blanketing America right now. And deception is just in the church. You see people just deceived and saying, you know, everything's okay, everything's fine, when everything they're doing and everything that they're saying and how they're living is totally different than what God would say and expect.
Yeah. Well, God allowed us to be born for his purposes, not for our own. You're saying the Bible says he knit us in our mother's womb. And so it's not so that we can acquire more and more and more, but it's to say, God, you know, you created me for a purpose. What do you want me to do with this one life? I only have one.
Right.
And we have that chance to do something.
It's like we're saying that when you're 10 years old, if your life's moving slow, you know, the M will never get you like 10 miles an hour. You're 10 years old. Yeah. 10
are we there
miles
yet?
Hour.
Are we there yet?
Are you
are
there?
There yet?
Right, right.
Yeah.
I remember looking at the clock in school going, that's the slowest moving second hand I've ever seen in my life. Then, you know, you're 25 years old and now your life is moving at 25 miles an hour towards the end of your life.
Right.
And then you reach 40 years old, now you're driving at 40 miles an hour, and you realize, listen, this thing's going to end, and how am I going to answer for this? How am I going to answer for this? And you look at, even, I don't want to speak, you know, we have a lot of time about it, but if even the elderly in our own nation, in our church, you know, what are you living passionately for God? Are you setting the example for those that are coming after you? Most all are living for ourselves. We've got to say, you know what? We've got to begin. We're going to have to answer for this because at 50, that's 50 miles an hour. Think about it. It's ending, and we're going to answer for it. I want to encourage you. So many resources available at VFNTV.com on the VFN Torch and also VineFellowshipNetwork.org. Maybe that's for you.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. On the Gulf Coast, contact Steve Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop with over 25 years of experience. No job is too big and no job is too small. Get in contact with them today. Just Fishing Grits. If you're in the mood for some good southern cooking, visit Just Fishing Grits today to dine in or to take out. You can have your meal on the go. It is good.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Oh, my goodness. John, have you been listening to the daily VFN radio program?
You know I have.
Oh, man. Such good content. Hey, are you on Facebook?
Of course.
Wow. You've got to check out the VFN TV page on Facebook.com. And if you haven't, you check it out. You can go on Facebook.com/VFN TV. You know, when you're listening to the radio program and you're listening to a segment that's just, you know, speaking to you, and you know that, you know, there's friends that's really going to encourage them, you can click share. And those friends who are all your friends who you're connected with on Facebook, they'll immediately get what you share.
Wow, that's awesome. It's a great way to continue to spread the word, huh? Spread.
Absolutely. Yeah. Check it out. Facebook.com/VFN TV.